Welcome, everybody, to the R&R CatCast, a fan-based podcast focusing on Montana State athletics. We're two dudes named Ryan from the state of Washington talking about our dear Montana State. We hope you enjoy.
Good evening, good afternoon, and good morning, Bobcat fans. I am your R&R basketball host, and this is Brickball. It is not a good evening. It is not a good morning. It's not a good afternoon. It is a great evening, a great morning, and a great afternoon. Gentlemen, no introductions. We're all here. We're Big Sky Conference champions in 2024. It's a three-peat, guys. I cannot believe we're here. Miracles do happen.
You told me a month and a half ago that this was going to be the end result. There's no way I would have put any amount of money on it. You had to pay me money.
No, Zach was on here saying, hey guys, if we make it to the semifinals, that's going to be a successful season. And you and I both looked at him. We're like, I don't know, man. It's a long shot right now.
I know. Semifinal? Ooh, you're crazy.
We won the whole thing, man.
We won it. Let's all go. And we won it against the Grizz. Oh, man. This is historic. This hasn't happened since 86. Probably might not happen again in our lifetimes. Savor the crap out of this one. The most gratifying basketball victory I have ever seen.
In every way possible, from being down at half, being down big in two of the games, and coming back. We got some luck, but man, the last couple weeks of the season were fun. It was not fun coming on here a couple times, I can say that. It was a roller coaster for sure.
Yeah, the one that you and I did a few weeks ago was pretty bleak.
Oh, man. It was hard. We didn't do a podcast for like 2 weeks. We were trying to figure out what we were going to talk about.
And then it was just a bunch of L's on ESPN. I remember looking like, oh, we've lost a lot of games in a row. The state of the programs. It was not a fun episode. And man, things turned around.
Three wins in the Big Sky Conference tournament in almost 20 years. And in the last 4 years, we have been in the title game every year. We take down Weber, we take down Sac, and we take down the Grizz. And we've done it, boys. Just, no words. I can't believe this. This is the craziest thing. I was talking to people with about 5 minutes to go, and I said, maybe the Brawl of the or the Miracle in Missoula, maybe something like that. This is one of the greatest stories in school history. It has to be.
It has to be. It's one of the most impressive stories I've seen of a college team anywhere.
From Logie coming in, being the last Division I coach hired last year, bringing in some transfers, convincing some guys to stay, having some dudes who just played minor minutes under Sprinkle, and then having them do this. I can't believe it. I'm lost for words almost, but I guess we just start from the beginning, and I want to start with what Sac did to Eastern. I mean, who saw that coming a little bit? They took him to the wire, and fully, we talked about it. We said, well, you know, nothing matters for Eastern, but they got to be thinking that this is going to be an issue if they keep playing us tight and Sac tight and going to overtime. Like, they can't take these games light, and they got to be thinking about what happened against NAU last year. And 2 years in a row, I cannot believe it. I can't believe that happened. And then for NAU to get knocked off, or for Northern to get knocked off too, oh my goodness. Just craziness.
Yeah, that Sunday was wild. If you're David Riley sitting at home yesterday watching the Montana State Bobcats again take the conference championship, and you're just going,
drinking the strongest beer he has in his cabinet.
His fridge. Well, I hope he was comfortable.
How do we get
couch
here? Second year in a row doing that. And I love it, man. You called it, yeah. Zach. I mean, you are like, you have a little bit of like clairvoyance going on in your brain on this season. I don't know how you're doing it, man, because you projected the Eastern demise. You projected our run to the semis. We did not see, I don't think any of us saw this coming, but tip of the cap to you, brother. Nice job.
Thanks. I mean, I went to a lot of games. When I was flying back to Bozeman today, I was on my phone and I recorded the banner raising the first game of the season. They added the title, and there's maybe 500 people in the building. That's pretty generous for the first game. And I was just thinking, well, this is cool because it ain't happening again after this year. But next year, we're raising another one. I can't believe it. Wow. Hats off to those guys. I'd like to list every one of them off. I don't think I can because I'll miss somebody and then I'll feel bad. But the shots fell. The guys played hard defense. And in the end, the shots that they needed to hit and the guys they needed to block, they did. And just masterclass by Logie. Incredible. He's been to the tournament now, the NCAA tournament, as a Division III, Division II, and a Division I head coach.
Something like 14 of his 15 years as a head coach, right? Or something like that?
Yep. I think it was insane. 12 of 13. That's incredible. And
I thought the streak was going to end this year. Many times throughout the year, I'm like, we're not going to the dance. And if we win a tournament game, I'll be okay. I'll be happy enough.
Yeah.
Like a conference tournament game. And wow. Unbelievable. And it against the Grizz. Come on. Come on. FTG.
Well, that's the sweetest part too, but it's also, so we go back to the Weber game. We'll start there.
Okay.
We know.
Try and organize.
We know,
okay.
We know. It's going to be a glass case of emotion for this one. I'm just so happy. But that happens Sunday night where Eastern loses. And now it's not, hey, the semis would be cool. It's now, oh my goodness, basically the winner of this game is going to go play for a title. And that was the crazy part about it, is now you're playing Weber and you're like, we just beat these guys. And Weber rushes out. I think we went on a 40-9 streak in the second half.
Against Weber?
Against Weber, yes.
That is like almost identical to what we did to the Grizz.
Yeah, it's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in person. If you saw an idiot 12 rows up behind our bench in an R&R hoodie, jumping up and down, fist pumping, that was me. I will be immortalized for that because, man, that was just so much fun just watching that. But Weber just didn't have an answer, and you could just see they waved the white flag quite early in that, I thought. I couldn't believe it. You know, with 5 minutes to go, that game was wide open, and it just felt like they just were done. They were like, all right, we can go home. I couldn't believe it.
That's what happened in the regular season finale against them. They just kind of, once we got going and got hot and they couldn't get stuff going, they just kind of, it's like you look around, like, what are we supposed to do, coach? Like, and that's exactly, it happened two times in a row. I didn't think there was any chance that we would do the same thing to Weber that we did to them in the final season, like the regular season game. And it was even better. It was even more of a dominant victory.
100% agree. When Weber came up on the rematch going into the tournament, I was not confident. I mean, you just don't beat Weber twice in a row within a week. No. You know,
don't
give
beat
them
Dylan Jones
a week
two
to,
times.
Yeah, exactly. Give them a moment to prepare. Not only that, go back to 2 years who we've knocked out of the conference. You know, in this tournament, Weber. The last couple years.
It took us overtime or a close game to beat Weber.
Exactly.
And we ran him out of the gym with this team. I mean, that's one of the more incredible parts, is it was a beatdown in the second half. Like it wasn't close. It felt like, oh my goodness, here we go. We're going to play SAC. That was incredible.
We going took to play their SAC. Souls. That's a hilarious statement. Because it means SAC beat Eastern. Sorry.
Oh, it wouldn't have mattered if Eastern was there. I was hoping
I don't
to
think
get
so.
Eastern because I wanted that, those that, guys.
Yeah.
SAC played us pretty tough, though.
Oh, they played. Yeah, they played us tough. And again, that came with they had the extra day of rest as well, was another thought. And then they also didn't have to play super hard, too, because that game wasn't close at the end either. It kind of got run up. I mean, they played their dudes, but it wasn't like they had to, you know, go wire to wire as much.
With Eastern, you mean?
Yeah, with Eastern. I mean, yeah, it was close, but it wasn't crazy. So, and then, so I was there. I watched, I'll just kind of go through my day, too. And then our women's team played Northern Colorado.
Can I ask you a question?
Yep.
I just want to go back to the Weber game because,
yeah,
you know, from a fan, I mean, you were there, but
yep,
you were there both times. You were there in Bozeman and in Boise. We took their souls. Could you just feel the energy from the Weber State fans just being sucked out of the gym? Because I want to know that feeling.
All seven of them? Yeah, we took it. I mean, it was Dylan Jones last game too, and the Cats fans were juiced, man. I mean, we know what it's like to win there now. It's crazy. Man. We had clearly of everybody we played, of everybody I saw, we had the most fans there. Our band was there. Our band was loud. Montana didn't bring their band. Ironic and poetic from football season.
They can't afford it. Yeah. I'm not joking. They can't afford to bring their band.
But I mean, that just brings so much more energy. And it's just when you look to your opponent's side and you see, you know, a couple alumni and a couple people there, and then you see the amount of people in the MSU crowd and that energy that was just, you know, vibrating around the team and the, you know, the backing that they had, it's incredible. And so that's what I took. And that's Dylan Jones, final one of, you know, arguably one of the best players in Big Sky history up there.
Yeah.
He's going to probably have an NBA career. I mean, two of his last games in the Big Sky are getting his butt kicked by us.
I want to
see you, dude. I mean, that's crazy.
I want to say something about Dylan Jones real quick. I'm not sure that guy is mentally ready for the NBA. I think he's a bit of a head case, and I think he's a bit of a crybaby. I'm not sure he's going to have a good NBA career only because of what's upstairs. Physically gifted, very, very good basketball player. I think he's remember him and the handshake with Danny Sprinkle last year and him getting all mad about, hey, you didn't vote for me for the MVP. Like, so petty, man. It is so petty.
Well,
anyway.
Sam Lecklot's living in his head.
We're the champs. I can rag on whoever I want right now.
Oh boy.
I will take a shot at Dylan Jones for no reason at all other than Ken.
Yep. So again, I'm going to swap in and out because we're going to go chronologically. Women's team played one of the most infuriating / fun basketball games I've ever watched with going 0 from 16 from the three, but yet finding a way to win. They blew the Zach stats. Like, I don't even want to look at them. Like, I was so like, oh man, but they find a way to get a 1-point win over Northern Colorado in an incredibly crazy game where fundamentals eventually mattered and the women moved on and they've had so many injuries, but it was awesome to see them go make it. So then my point is, hey, both our teams are in the semis. That's awesome. That's a good year. But
that was one of the ugliest basketball games I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I
don't want to spend a ton of time on it or dive into the stats, but it was like, oh, this is so hard. I think we scored 15 points in the first half, and it was
a gritty victory. And sometimes that's the kinds of games you get into, slobber knockers like that. But man, that was just bad basketball, defensive struggle, but bricks, air balls by everybody. Not a pleasant game to watch, but a huge, huge win, man. That's all that matters in the tournament. Doesn't matter if you win 20-19 or 80-79.
Yeah. And then we get the Grizz playing Portland State, which, man, just watching Portland State a couple times this year, that is the most talented team in the Big Sky. The dudes that Portland State has, there's just no scheme. They just go out there and just play schoolyard ball. It's crazy. And sometimes they're on and sometimes it doesn't work and more disciplined teams beat them. But Portland State has some dudes and they just
always do.
They just didn't have a game plan. There was nothing there, a semblance of a game plan. And so then you have the Grizz in the semis against Idaho State. And I think everybody saw, you can kind of pencil the Grizz into that. I don't think anybody thought Idaho State. So that was the point where I thought against SEC, I'm like, oh boy, here we go. We're going to have to play the Grizz to win this thing. And SEC,
I thought
game
of you,
was
Zach.
Way, yeah. Oh,
because you said like, no. In our last episode, you're like, I asked you the question, who's the last team you want to play?
Montana.
And you said, yep. The Montana.
I think almost everybody would say that. It's just the mark for all the, not even like the matchups, just the impact of having to play the Grizz in any championship level of any sport is like the Brawl of the Wild times five. It's too much. Yeah, I was a nervous wreck yesterday.
So not a heavy stats episode. I just want to make this kind of an emotional and a feel one, but and then we had to make the sack game close. It had to be a 3-point game with a couple seconds to go and they get a shot up to tie it. Boy, what a last month of the season for them, from being, you know, just a basement dweller all year to kind of figuring things out a little bit like we did. It's just crazy how you can get hot like that, like in baseball or something like that, and do what they did. I mean, they nearly beat us and were in the title game as a 10 seed. That's crazy.
That, to me, just tells me that the Big Sky didn't really have a very dominant, good team this year.
No. But that's also what made this league a ton of fun, because anybody could have beaten anybody. It was so much fun this year. We're not the deepest league, or it wasn't, you know, the best, but it was so fun because you didn't know what was going to happen on night in and night out, and that was awesome. So we do that, and then we're in the title game, and I think we can now go on to why the game is at 9:30 at night, because I played Top Golf with Mac Anderson, and we were just sitting there the whole time just trying to talk, and I was like, dude, I should be hating you right now. Like, we're just having fun, but I'm just looking at you like, oh, I just don't want to lose to you right now. But that's just a long day, man. That's just so much time to think and stir on that game.
Amongst other activities.
Yes.
Didn't you and Mac have a little bet on this game?
Yeah. Do you want to share? Yes.
Yeah, I will share my bet. So we had a sweatshirt bet on the line where I would have had to wear a Grizz sweatshirt to one of my classes at MSU. Selfie on social media did have to be taken. And he has to wear one to a 3-day sales meeting with his boss is a Grizzly. So that's going to be awesome. And that's in about a month or two. And if you follow us on social media, that will be posted, because yes, I'm very much looking forward to that.
I will retweet the crap out of that on Twitter. Good job wrangling him into that.
And he has to do it for multiple days. I had to do it for one class, and he was like, that's not fair. And I'm like, dude, you guys are favored. Like, you got to give me some kind of edge here. I got to go on campus and try not to get killed.
Yeah. There's also a difference between a sales meeting where there's maybe like 5 or 10 people involved, an entire campus of people that are going to like, what is this guy doing in that sweatshirt? That I feel like a 3-to-1 ratio is a good trade off there.
Yeah. So, Mac.
Yeah. You might get punched on the way to class. But
I'm a fast runner still. I could probably make it just there, sit for 50 minutes, and then run back.
You just wear the like jacket. It's like warm. It's spring. You're like, don't look at me.
So much family dishonor. Oh, that's what I was thinking in the first half when we were down, and then Vasquez hit the buzzer beater. That wasn't a buzzer beater. It was clearly after, but I'm just sitting there at halftime, and I'm like, this is going to suck.
It was very reminiscent of the way the first half ended in Missoula.
Yeah.
Like things just kind of started steamrolling. Vasquez hit that. He didn't, but it was after the buzzer, but it just showed you how on they were.
Yep. So let's get into the title game. We can talk about that a little bit now. It was back and forth.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. Man, I think I texted you guys. I didn't think we could keep that defense up. I was really worried about the dogs and the horses of that pressure defense that we were playing, but it held up. I can't believe it held up, but it felt like towards halftime, I was like, ooh, we might be running out of gas here. And they were just hitting those shots. Those threes. When Moody was 1 from 6, which surprised me because he just seemed to be on a little bit too. And then Vasquez, just that dude can hit shots wherever. And it's so frustrating.
So I thought Patterson did a good job on Moody. I think his length bothered him.
He did a really good job.
Moody beat him to the rim, but you're taking that. You're taking that, getting around Patterson, and then having some of our rim protectors have a chance to block him rather than Moody just firing away an open three. Patterson's length really bothered him.
Well, to build on that, just a moment, is John Olmstead, his length down low negated what they wanted to do feeding the post. And so, 100%. Yeah. And let's call it as it is. Like, I texted you guys this earlier. John Olmstead, when he started playing, like, what, 3-4 weeks
changed.
Ago?
It changed the whole
He was the missing
team.
Cog in this whole thing. His emergence, we're not here without him, obviously.
No.
So, his length is what he could do defensively underneath the rim, forced them to be more one-dimensional. And that played huge for this
game. And it changed how they had to guard us, too. We didn't have that lob dunk option, period. Like, we didn't have anyone else on the roster who could catch a lob to that degree. And they started having to really think about that, which leaves your shooters open. It allows that pick and roll to work a lot better because they're having to trail and making sure Olmstead's not running to the rim for an easy dunk. it changed the entire dynamic. Like, that was the single biggest difference between the two losses to the Grizz in the regular season was simply John Olmstead.
Yeah. That was my biggest head scratcher of the season that I'm thinking about now. Cause first game of the year that we played against American Indian, he had like four of those in that game. And, you know, it was just, you know, okay, you know, showing off a little bit in a blowout game. But I had that thought that I'm like, hey, he's a transfer. He's an older guy and he's throwing down. Like, I'm excited to see this all year. And it just didn't happen. And he just didn't get minutes. And I don't know what practice was like. I don't know what, you know, why not playing him all season. But somebody said he had 47 minutes up to like 2 weeks ago.
I think it was 34
in February.
34. Yeah. Yeah. It's insane to see what he's done. And yeah, we clearly are not here without him. His play is incredible. But you could also say that about a lot of our guys. They played their butts off all week, and especially the last 2 weeks.
Which is so cool because this moment for the Montana State Bobcats feels like a collection of moments for a lot of individuals on that team. You got John Olmstead, who had his senior night against Weber, just his shining moment. ET3 starts coming to the surface with timely buckets, being able to handle the ball well on the point and just dictating terms. Robert Ford, I mean, we haven't mentioned that guy's name yet, and he is, holy cow.
Like, build the statue.
Build the statue.
Damn statue.
Right
do
now,
it.
Right?
Right now.
And that, Sam before he's done playing. With his absolute dog mentality down low, rejecting, like his play against Sac State was unreal. His defense saved the game for us there. Tyler Patterson.
Jed Miller hitting those two free throws to kind of put the game on ice at the end. I mean, talk about a guy who hasn't played at all almost all year and is in the unexpected role, and now the season relies on him to hit two timely clutch free throws. There was one point late, I think, in that game we were shooting 25% from the line.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
I do want to give huge props to Tyler Patterson because Tyler Patterson, he came on as a freshman, but he struggled last year. And then this year, he has become this sniper and this this guy who disrupts on defense. And when he hits shots, he just gets in this groove where he gets hot and streaky. And he's just he has that swag to him that just like gets under the skin of the opponents. And I love Tyler Patterson. He's one of my favorite players on the Bobcats. So tip of the cap to him. It's just so cool to see all these guys in their roles and just flourishing right now. And Coach Logie, like that guy, stone cold, absolutely stone cold on the sidelines. Wow,
it's really cool to see. The most impressive thing to me this year was the player development.
Yes,
guys got better. They had ups and downs throughout the year, but they kept working at it. And that's you talk about like where was John Olmstead? I remember watching John Olmstead early in the year, and like, I was like, this guy's not going to ever get any minutes. He's not. Like, clunky. He's clunky. Yeah. Like, he just doesn't fit out there. It wasn't working. He just doesn't look like a Division I basketball player in a lot of ways. So I think there was a lot of development to get him to the point where he could come in later in the season. So I really attribute that. And, you know, we talked about this on the podcast all the time throughout the year. The Cats were gassed. We would get these leads and we'd go on these big deficits in the second half, like the 5-minute scoring droughts, because the guys were just tired. There wasn't enough bench depth. And really having like Jed Miller and John Olmstead come on was really able to alleviate that and get some guys some more minutes. And whatever happened to Brian Garacki,
he figured
was
it
resolved.
Out.
He figured it out. Gosh. He got back into himself.
First
that was
team
such
all
a,
tournament. Oh, that dude, was, that guy.
He was one of the biggest reasons for the success down because he found himself again. And I don't know, maybe he had a mental thing there for a while and Logie talked him back up and he figured it out, or maybe he was too tired and just having some more depth come off the bench helped him. I have no idea what happened with Garacki, but he came back and lit it up and that everything just came together. And I attribute so much of that to coaching. I was going to say coaching and culture, and I can find it into like culture, but yeah,
I think
Logie's really a big piece of this.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah, back to Patterson. Logie is the best thing that ever happened to Tyler Patterson, I think. Him
I
coming
that,
in
like a month ago.
You did. And I wasn't sure he was getting more minutes and he was, you know, obviously his stats were up. But Logie's belief, his willingness to kind of let Tyler explore, I think, as an offensive and defensive player throughout the season, especially early on, dude, he found himself late in the year, and he's the perfect player for the Logie system, I'd say.
Man, he can hit those pull-up jumpers over anybody because he's 6'8".
Yeah.
And he started hitting those. He went from a catch-and-shoot guy who wasn't hitting as many threes as you would want from a catch-and-shoot guy to doing a whole lot more, finally getting his groove back from beyond the arc, but also adding that, like, that elbow jumper to his game, the pull-up jumper. It was impressive, man. His development this year, just this year, from the beginning, he was still probably similar to what we had known from the Patterson in sprinkle days to, like, all conference type material at the end of the year. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Development. That was when I didn't know what this season was going to be like at the beginning and starting this thing. My biggest thing was, let's see what these guys look like at the end. Let's see what the development, let's see how they look. And man, I will take bad 3-point shooting in November if it means a conference title and clutch 3-point shooting in March every day of the week. Oh my goodness. Like, it's just so cool. I got to dig through the stats. It's still fresh, but I'd just be curious what our percentages were the first couple weeks of the year to what they are now, and just what that's practice too. I mean, what were they doing in practice over the stretch to get those guys confident and get them ready to hit those? I mean, the fact that, you know, you couldn't leave Turner, you couldn't leave Ford, you couldn't leave Garacki, you couldn't leave almost any guy. I mean, Walker hit a three in this thing. I mean, that's crazy that you have that much confidence in those guys to hit those things and do that.
Man, Patterson, one last thing on Patterson. He really got swagger throughout the year. Like, he's out there flashing the three signs, doing some taunting. Like, he is like locked in, and he is confident. He's almost cocky, which is what you want. And I never saw that from him before this year. So I don't know what that is, but maybe it's just senior leadership and coming, or is he a junior? He figured it out, man, and it was fun to watch. And yeah, Eddie Turner, man, I want to talk about Eddie Turner. That guy became an actual scoring threat throughout the year. He was just like the handles and the distributor for a while. But he could actually, once he started knocking down threes, like, that really changed the Bobcat offense.
Well, and he got pretty hurt at the end of the Weber game too with his shoulder. And so he had all that tape and stuff on it. And I was worried when he went down against Weber. I was like, oh no, is he done for the tournament? That was my biggest concern. But boy, he powered through. He played tough. He played hurt. And he delivered down the lane multiple times. And that was awesome to see him do and come apart.
He has an unpleasant jump shot. He kind of pushes the ball almost like a shot put. But hey, when it goes in, when he's on, he's super hard to guard, man. He gets by anybody he wants. Extremely athletic. The most athletic, at least the quickest guy on the team.
The other person who's got some swagger too is, how about Sam? Oh my goodness, that dude has come on. Sam was all over the place, all tournament, just hype it up. Oh, he had his blocks, his come out of nowhere ability to block. And 50% of the time when they call a foul, it's not a foul. It's a clean block, but it just looks crazy because he just comes out of nowhere, and I just love it.
They're just calling contact foul when there's no reason for a foul.
I think he knows it, but oh man, Sam played his butt off, and it was so awesome.
That guy has so much hustle. Yeah, he does. And he's not afraid to get posterized, and he has a couple times. But I respect the hell out of him for getting up there. You got a huge guy coming to dunk on you and posterize you, and he's still back up there doing it, man. And he knocked Oki on his butt.
That was Garacki, actually.
Yeah.
No, there was two Garacki. Of them.
Yeah, I think there was two. Yeah.
Okay. Oki also actually took blocked off, the ball out of there. When it was Lekalot versus Oki, he kind of bodied up, and Oki like tried to dunk, and he ended up throwing the ball, and it hit the back of the iron and bounced away up in the air, knocked him on his own butt, and he was holding his head afterwards because Lekalot just went up there and just physically met him, and that was a foul. But you love it though, you love that physicality, man. And yes, Garacki blocked him, and that was clean, and that was a bad, terrible call.
That was a moment. I was like, what? No way.
Garacki's surprisingly good at blocks, man. He's had quite a few of them this year. He's athletic, man. He's got some hops. He actually has some hops.
There's one Big Sky official who's been there for the past couple of years, and I'll let you figure out who that is, but he he seems to maybe have a knack for calls that aren't calls sometimes. And
I'll say his name. I'm not scared.
It rears his head every once in a while, but yeah. But all right, guys. Where does this rank in your Bobcat fandom?
Hold on, How are you not going to talk about Robert Ford? Like, rewind.
We're gonna get there.
We're not gonna get there. I was gonna say because we need to sit in that group for a while for a moment.
He gets his own special segment. That dude, we can do it right now. We'll just roll into
Let's do it.
What a career. A JUCO guy to Idaho State to basically our sixth man last year, started two games. He was in the portal, and I don't know what Logie said to him. I don't know what that conversation was like, but he came back.
I forgot he put was actually in the portal for a minute.
Yep. And he put this team together, and he put it on his back for a lot of the season and was that senior leader that we needed all year. And how many games, how many times it was like, gosh, what would we have been like without Robert Ford this year?
Not good.
Let's be honest here. Not good.
Yeah, the guy
now maybe Logie would have gone out and found a different point guard. Yeah. So there, you know,
he wouldn't have found a Robert Ford.
No,
not even close.
But if you just like subtract Ford out right now, we don't have anybody like Eddie Turner. Yeah. I think he would have found someone more akin to a true point guard. But his rebounding skills are insane.
The country right now in rebounding.
He
broke the school record in steals. I believe he's second in the country in rebounds.
I don't understand.
He's
always around
unreal.
The ball, man. He's always crashing back and just he gets sky high on those rebounds.
Yeah.
And just snacks
he's him. Going after big guys for the ball. I mean, he crashes down when the big guy's not even looking and he's swiping the ball. He's one of the best Bobcat players of all time. One of the best runs of a Bobcat player of all time. Arguably one of the best single seasons of a Bobcat of all time.
One of the best Big Sky tournament performances for the entire duration of the tournament ever. That the Big Sky has ever seen out of any school. Insane. Unbelievable. That performance, he had that one steal like late in the game where he just like darted back and stole the ball. It's like, you sneaky. I love this guy.
There's about three times a game where he hits the floor hard because he's a little guy. He just goes flying. I'm like, oh no, please don't be hurt. And he just, you know, he lays there for a second and then he gets himself right back up, collects himself, and he's right back to doing what he
got
to do. That guy
destroyed by a screen by like one of the Grizz bigs.
A no call screen. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if it was a foul or not. I think the guy was pretty much solidly planted. It seemed okay to me, but hard hit. He just got up and just boink right back to it, man. Jeez.
Does he set the archetype for what we want as a point guard going forward with Logie's system?
I don't think so. I don't think you can ever expect your point guard to be your leading rebounder.
Well, just the anticipation, the hustle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes. And a lot of those other intangibles. I mean, assist-wise, I'm not sure how good he is at a traditional point guard in terms of assists. But I think, yes. I think in a lot of the traits you want, I think that really is what Logie wants. I think he probably wants a guy who can score. And so not a traditional point guard who's going to distribute. He wants a guy who can score, who's going to hustle and be that just that leader. And absolutely, Robert Ford is all of that.
He was our key ball handler all year. You kind of felt safe with him running the offense.
Absolutely, yeah. He's always in control. That was the biggest thing. I think Joe Craven said it or the other announcer. They're like, here comes Robert Ford, always in control. And it's pretty late in the game. And then he hits like a fadeaway jumper like right after he says it. I'm like, hell yeah. Hell yeah, yes.
Craven said a lot this weekend. Oh my goodness. Every year I got to remind myself that guy exists. Oh, and I was at the tournament.
Every single game I got to hear about Robert Ford listed at 6 foot, but I don't know, maybe about 5'8", but maybe with his hair. I'm like, I heard that for three straight damn games. Like, get a new one, Craven. But he is pretty funny. He is pretty funny. I laughed when he said that, Walker couldn't jump over a small town phone book or something like that. I was like, that's good. I like that.
Yeah.
You got to put, what do you say? The brown thing and the round thing was one of his quotes that went viral. Oh man. Big Sky basketball. That's all I have to say every year.
He's going to be there until he can no longer get to that arena. Physically able to get to that arena. He's a mainstay. I love seeing people on social media every year. Like, this is my first game with Joe Cravens, and this is amazing. They watch the championship game, not like having watched Joe Craven before, and like, whoa, who's this guy? He's pretty funny. He's knowledgeable too. That's the best part, is he knows what he's talking about.
Well, when the TV like pans to him, it looks like they just stuffed him in a coat, you know, like a jacket, and he just sit there, and his shoulder pads are like up to his ears, and he's just like, all right, just let me talk basketball. Get the camera off of me. No, man. What was it? When Tyler Patterson hit a three, who's the other guy that announces with him? He said something like, a crispy three piece.
A crispy three piece. That was you say that. Yeah. I like that. That was good. Man, what a win we're talking about when we're sitting here like enjoying and like remembering the funny commentary, because that's where this episode has gone, because we're just so damn ecstatic and happy. Like, sure, let's talk about the announcing.
Yeah.
It's fun, man.
It's the win we needed. I thought Logie's got what now, like four signature wins, maybe five this season. I mean, holy cow, what a year.
Count them up.
Oh, there's just, what was that stretch from December to, it was like late November, December, and then like part of January. It's like, we just feel like we need a win as a fan base. Like, this kind of stinks right now. We're in the dumps. We need something. And I don't think anybody expected this.
No, hey. People have been tweeting out the records for the Cat Grizz things, and like the Lady Grizz were the only ones the entire out of all five possible matchups of the big three sports that had the victory. This is like, ugh, what a difference a year makes, right? That was almost the exact opposite last year. But this win changes that. I don't even care about the other two losses. Like, do not care at all. This is what matters, man.
Yeah, Zach, what I want to know is post-game, I mean, you were in Boise. What did you do after the Cats won? What was it like?
What did you do last night, man?
How are you feeling today?
I went to bed at about 2:30 in the morning, and then I woke up at 8 to get on a flight. So it's been a rough one. I'm on some caffeine right now. But I honestly said I embraced it. I was on the court for the cutting of the nets. I was there when they got the trophy. The coolest thing about Boise is you get to meet so many people. I got to meet so many of the parents of the players. I got to talk with them. Actually, a lot of them, shout out to them. They're like, I know you guys, the R&R. And that was kind of a cool moment too. But that was to see the parents, to see what it meant to them and the families, and especially a lot of them that stayed. A lot of the kids that were not starters last year, then, you know, who were sophomores and juniors last year, and to see them stay through the coaching change, all the hard work, the ups and downs, you soak up the moment. And I have a few pieces of confetti that I picked up from the court and I have in my bag right now, and I don't know what I'm going to do with that, but that was nice. So cool. I got to have the net around my neck for a little bit and take a picture. I didn't deserve any of that because I did nothing.
Yeah, how'd that happen? Did you ask just for that? To be there. Logie just like threw it at you or what?
He did not throw it at me, but I did give him a massive hug. I gave a lot of people big hugs yesterday, but I did give that dude a massive hug.
Hey, nice.
His assistant coach, who is now the head coach at Whitworth, was there to watch him. I got to talk to him quite a bit. And
what is his
just
name
to
again?
See. Oh, I don't want to, I got to look it up, okay. But to see what that meant to him was one of my personal, probably favorite thing of Boise, to see them hug afterwards and the emotions and what that meant to those guys was probably the coolest part afterwards. But just being on the court, man, after that, just to see the confetti fly, to see that one of the things I'll also say too, to show, you know, Sam Lekalot's character, shout him out when they go running onto the court to celebrate. The first thing Sam then realized afterwards is the handshake line. And if you watch the clip again, he celebrates and then immediately runs over to shake the Grizz player's hand and to get in that handshake line. And then everybody else kind of followed after that. But that was pretty cool to see him notice, hey, we just won this. We can celebrate. But to go shake those guys' hand and wish them good game, I thought was really cool and really awesome. But
you're saying that Sam didn't ask Travis to cure, hey, why didn't you vote for me for the all-conference team?
Yep. Sam did not do that. No, he did not. Okay. Also on that, which this kind of funny random note, but I was rewatching the clip and they asked Robert Ford in the postgame about this. So he throws the ball 50 feet in the air. He got it stuck, right?
Yeah,
he got it stuck in the Jumbotron.
Yeah, you can the ball see the video. Like, where he the like ball chucks go? It up and it
never comes
again.
Back down.
Never comes down.
Yeah, he got the ball stuck in the Jumbotron. Yeah, it was
the word
a crazy
is it's still
like,
there
shot.
To this day.
Yeah. Hopefully it's there that next year.
It's like when you're in gymnasium, like an elementary gymnasium, there's always like a random ball stuck up in the rafters. Like always. Every gym in the world has like, how did that get up there? Someone just booted a ball up there and it's there forever now. So hopefully that just stays in Boise forever.
Okay, hold on. No, I want to know what you did post game, man. So like, okay, the celebration's going on. Like you're like, I'm a Bobcat in Boise. We just won the Big Sky Championship.
Are you saying like
what
once
did
you left
you
the
do
arena?
Later I mean, on, like where did you?
What
hang
did
out with
I
the
do
players?
Later on?
Yeah. Well, did what? You? What were you like hobnobbing with like boosters or parents? What were you doing, man?
It was hugs. I took pictures. The one thing though is it's a Wednesday night at 1 a.m, so nothing's open afterwards. I mean, it's kind of funny that way where it's like, I stayed for a while and then when everybody kind of cleared out and the arena cleared out, I mean, they cleaned up everything. Those guys did their post game, but I don't know what the players did after the game. I saw the Grizz players in the lobby after the game talking to their families and just kind of going through that. But man, that's the one thing we can talk about too. It's Wednesday at 1:30 in the morning after the celebration.
So, yeah.
And it's like, nothing's open. Like, where do we go celebrate? Like, that's kind of a weird thing. It's like, okay, this is cool. But yeah, so.
Yeah. You bring the party back to the hotel. Come on.
Yeah, I guess part of having the thing at 9:30 at night on a Wednesday is kind of weird.
The time, that was a terrible slot. It was cooler on ESPN and all that stuff, but I'm not sure how much that matters anymore. I'm not sure it's worth trading a 9:30 p.m. time slot to be on ESPN2.
I did appreciate that the tournament, at least for Montana, for the UM and MSU, that at least it was spring break for us. I mean, I know that's not the case for everywhere, but that was nice. I mean, if you were a student, that was kind of nice. And especially for me, I had the free time to go down there and do it. And the Big Sky puts on a fantastic event. I know it doesn't look full. That event is so much fun every year. It's in a great location. There's so many like restaurants and places to go in between and talk to people. The alcohol is definitely flowing down there. That is no shortage of that for the Big Sky. But yeah, it's just a great event, man. I just love it.
Foley just walked out off camera.
I just saw that. Yeah.
He didn't say anything. He just got up and
just
left.
Walked out. He's probably grabbing another one.
He's
we're going
grabbing
long
her
tonight.
Beer. I'm working on this. Dude, we were going to talk at one point about the Golden Coolies. What we're drinking. Yeah. I'm going to say it now. I think it's a good time to say it. I bought this beer like a month or two ago. I don't remember where it was. It may have been Costco. It was like $14 for a single beer. And I bought it with the anticipation of using it as a special celebration Golden Coulee beer. And I had no idea when I was going to use it. I was like, I feel like it's barrel aged. It's a bourbon stout by Goose Island in Chicago. I figured it'd last a long time.
Him. Yep, I've heard of it.
So him. I was like, I'm just going to buy this. And, you know, whenever a perfect celebratory occasion occurs on the podcast, I'm going to drink it. And this is what I'm drinking right now. Holy cow, it's strong, 14.1%. The random Golden Coulee in the middle of the podcast episode. But man, celebration beer deserved, because this is such an incredible occasion and it deserved to have my special beer. Foley, did you go get a beer? What'd you do?
What? No, I didn't do such a thing.
We were talking about like, and Foley just goes. Got up and went off camera and left the room. So we're speculating as to where you went.
Cheers.
But we just heard the so we know now.
I mean, are you out of your celebration beers yet, Foley? I think you've had about 5 or 6 of them throughout the last day.
Yeah, you keep texting us pictures of your celebration beer
Sierra
after all
Nevada
the victories.
That you have.
Yeah, man. We all know if you listen to the R&R, when good things happen, we drink Sierra Nevada over
I just told everyone it was my Golden Coulee. So yours is full of your celebration Sierra Nevada
Pale Ale. Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, Betty.
There it is.
There it is, man.
I got a Laurelwood
Zach is
Brewing
drinking coffee.
Oh, I got a Laurelwood Brewing kids these days, but
oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we shout out Shay Richter.
Did he turn you on to that?
No, I just was shouting out the Cooley segment because we didn't play the audio or anything like that. We're just going for it.
Oh yeah. Brought to you by.
Sorry, man. the championship episode. This is about
off
what you'd expect
rails.
From
this. I'm surprised it took this long to get to this point. We've been here for 45 minutes.
Guys, do you have any other players or anybody you want to shout out? I don't want to leave anybody else out that we haven't talked about. But, man, coaching staff, fantastic job. All those dudes. Last thing I'll say, and I was worried, I've said it a couple times on here now, but, dude, we were just more conditioned than the Grizz at the end. I think Brent kept bringing it up on Twitter. He was like, where he goes, we're running out of conditioning. Cats look better. You know, I was like, I did not expect us to be the better conditioned team, but I think we, and don't quote me, outscored their bench 19 to nothing.
19 to zip, baby.
19 to zip with our guys coming off the
bench.
Not
a single
bench
point.
Crazy.
How do you have a Division I basketball team that doesn't have a single bench point? I don't get it.
Because you have two dudes who chuck up a bunch of threes.
You got a couple ball hogging shooters and Moody and Vasquez. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, they can make them, but yeah.
Yeah, when they're making them,
they're
it's great.
Two dudes who are trying to make most of the shots, but yeah, when they're cold, they were
the one thing I was really happy with is how we dealt with Whitney, because I had watched him play in the semifinal game, and he was just pulling up and hitting he hit seven jumpers in a row.
He's got a pretty shot. He's got a really – it's kind of a narrow shot, but he's got a really pretty –
He's really quick. He's really quick off the ball, and he can create his own shot with his speed. I was really happy with how the Cats defended him and held him in check. What did he end up with? I'm checking out the stats right now. He ended up with 13 points, which is that's doing pretty good. 6 of 12, 13 points. I think you're happy with that.
Yep.
I thought the Cats' defense overall was something that probably hasn't been talked about enough. I think the peskiness of our defense – especially second half. I don't know why the second half, but Montana State did not wear out. And I texted you guys earlier today. The Cats were way more physical than the Grizzlies, and we never let up. In fact, I felt like we got stronger as the game went on.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's going to talk about our – I think it was deserved. I mean,
I never saw the replay.
He was like leaning into him, and Moody just is like, get out of my way, and just kind of frustration threw him down. But
because that felt like a turning point too.
I was so happy to see a stupid foul review where Tyler Patterson was involved that didn't come out and getting screwed. I was like, well, you know, it's going the Cat's way when a Patterson foul review actually went in favor of Patterson. He's been hosed on those a couple times.
Thorny, you know, it's going the Cat's way. When the Grizzlies had a 6-point possession,
and it didn't matter because we were up by 17,
and it didn't matter. Yes, it didn't matter. Olivia looked at me. She goes, "Did they get 6 points out of that?"
Yep.
That's like,
yep.
How? I don't know how, but yes, they did.
It was making me. I had my on the R&R Catcast Twitter. I had a post drafted up responding to the jungle. The Idaho State one where they had made a meme and I was ready to post it, but I kept waiting. I'm like, all right, come on, Cats. I feel like we're going to win this, but so I had to wait too long. The 6-point possession didn't really help my confidence. Like, it didn't matter, but it was still like, I don't want to post this yet, you know?
Yeah.
Well, God bless the jungle and God bless the poor guy in the Monty suit who had to go down the stairs in the, if everybody saw that clip of the grizzly going down the stairs in the kayak and just get wiping out. That's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Have that Twitter.
Oh, yeah, man. Didn't you didn't see it? Oh,
no.
The grizzly was in Twitter. A kayak and he decided to go down the stands, like over the chairs in the kayak. And
yeah, it was like a corner where the chairs converge in the corner. So it had this like little perfect little narrow pathway for you could just nudge a kayak in there and go straight down.
The
and he
lumberjack
did.
Just pushed him down in the kayak. It was
and
great.
He just crashed into the barrier at the bottom and you just like see him disappear behind a barrier.
Somebody like, made that put on the Grizzly. It was like their March Madness hopes. And then at the bottom, it just was the Bobcats. Oh, it was the best.
Oh, man. I didn't see that. I would have retweeted that if I had seen that.
Dude, my favorite was Riley Corcoran looking at Matt Logie. Just his face. He's just like, you know, just a capture of that moment was
he's so sweet.
Yeah.
I don't want to say too much, but I feel bad because I really
you respect feel bad about
people
what?
Who do the job of play by play and all that stuff. But that was pretty satisfying photo.
Yeah,
that was super satisfying.
All right, I'll move on to nobody right now.
We are the champions, undisputed.
That's right. No apologies. I will be apologizing to nobody.
Well, I'll kind of add on this because I saw a lot of stuff on it, and I wanted to ask you guys, and I was going to put my opinion on here, but the Eastern people are all upset about the format of the conference, and they want to go to that WCC. Where
hey,
basically
what?
You're one
you
and two seed always go
in that either.
Yep.
Guess what? You lose your first game, you're not going to the championship, no matter what damn format you pick.
Don't lose to the worst team in the conference, and you don't have this problem. I mean, do you think that's going to help you? You know, not beat Arizona or beat Arizona later on. I mean,
all right. Yeah. So I do agree that I like that WCC format better. I'm not going to argue that, but
I don't.
Eastern fans crying about it, like you wouldn't have made it anyway. You still have to win a game to get to the championship game. 2 years in a row, you've lost like a combined three conference games in 2 years, like unbelievable run in the regular season to get just beat out by a hot team that had won like 10 total games all year. Maybe win a game before you complain about the format.
Turns out
you have no say at all when you can't win a single tournament game. Nobody's going to take you seriously, boys. I'm loving dunking on the Eastern Eagles right now.
Yeah, I was talking to the Grizz people yesterday, and it was funny. They're like, I was talking to a bunch
you
of
mean
them,
the media
like,
people or.
No, just Grizz fans.
Well, you said the Grizz people. I didn't know what that meant.
I was talking to a couple Grizz media as well. And several of them mentioned me. They're like, yeah, I mean, this, you know, it's the rivalry game and this is going to be, you know, difficult playing you guys. But they're like, at least you're out of Eastern. They were like, oh, we'd be way more mad if we lost to Eastern. Which I thought was interesting because, you know, the
Grizz
rivalry
fans
they're like
said that?
Yeah, a couple Grizz fans said I would be more upset right now if we lost to Eastern. I thought that was funny too, but just Eastern's not exactly liked.
So what did I say on our last podcast? I hope they lose every game.
The thought process behind losing to the best team in the conference is more upsetting than get embarrassed on national television to the 5 seed to your rival. That's somehow a better scenario. Enjoy.
Maybe that's some rationale. Well, and that
cope
goes
harder,
to next.
As the kids say.
God, we're taking no prisoners tonight. Oh, all right. Next thing I have is, do we want to go play in Dayton in the first four, or do you want to go to the tourney? Because I want to go straight to the tourney. I have no desire to go play in the first four. It's probably where we're going to end up, but I'd rather go play Arizona as a 15 seed.
We're not going to be a 15, man.
I think we'll be 15.
We'll be 16 or win that first round. And
I don't. Yeah.
I don't know. That's a hard one. I was reading on Twitter. I think if you win that first four play-in game, it counts as a win and you still get that. How does that work? The money is split up. Like you earn a point or whatever, right? That's how it works.
Yeah,
you earn points
earn point.
And then the money is split throughout the conference.
It technically matters, but. That does nothing for me. I mean, it's cool to win it.
Think about this. That's the precursor. People are watching that because there's no other games on.
Yeah, true.
So there'd be a lot of eyes on the Bobcats, and there's a pretty good chance you could win that game. You get your first official NCAA win some money for you in the conference, and then go into the actual tournament still hot as shit. I don't know. It's tempting.
It also feels good to be in.
I said a bad word.
This 14.1%
alcohol is getting to me a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. It's a good. What do you think, Foley? Would you play straight in as a 16 or 15 seed? Or
I'm leaning towards the first four. I'm with you. Really? I think there's a more winnable game. And then why not get some confidence going in and just keep this train rolling?
The bad part about that is it's sooner, and I feel like we have some guys banged up. That's pretty much the only downside I see, honestly.
Yeah, Garacki took that fall. You know, Ogie kind of gave him the little shoulder when he went up for the block.
Well, Olmstead's kind of dinged up too. I heard people talking about something about his shoulder dislocated. Somebody said that looks like a classic dislocated shoulder. That was somebody just observing what they saw on TV. So there's no official word on that, but I guess he wouldn't be back no matter what if that was the case.
Yeah. No, but he had a pretty bad gash on his neck from the end. But
yeah, I could see it from Zach's point of view too. Like if we can get a 15 seed and play Arizona, that'd be sweet as well. The one thing I don't want to do is play Houston. So if we could avoid playing Houston, I'd be super happy. Because Houston would just
play such defensive basketball. It's so hard to watch sometimes.
They're so stinking good.
If you are betting Houston basketball, always take the under because those games always good. They just don't score. They're just the lowest scoring games ever.
Yeah. So I don't know. What's best for the Cats? You know, if we can get a win, let's get a win. If that's the first four, let's go for the first four.
I still can't believe we made it to the tournament. I still can't believe we're in 3 years later. This is insane. Oh, man. That's got to feel so good for the athletic department, too. Just hats off for them for finding another dude and putting this together. Just so sweet.
Leon Costello, man. Leon and Waded, please just stay around forever somehow.
Ever. Just Bobcats forever. These guys doing an amazing job.
It works wonders for the athletic department.
Well, Logie, like what's going to happen with Logie? Like, is he going to be poached now after this year?
I don't think there's a way he's going to be poached yet. That's even just one good year. That's still a pretty minimal resume for a move up here. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe someone will take a flyer on him, but I think he'll be around.
Zach, what's your thoughts?
I posted in the Big Sky Podcast Network today, a guy with a stick telling people to get back. And I said, looking at all you underling Mountain West schools, potentially looking to fire your coach. I was like, get back, stay back. This is ours. So, not again. We found another one. We're keeping him. He's ours.
Yeah, we're not going to keep him. Except that. Except the fact that if a good coach comes to Bozeman, I wrote a whole article on this. Enjoy it while it's here. But I just don't think it's happening yet. I just don't think he's built up enough of a resume.
But good time, boys. Yeah. All right. Good times. This is a doll over episode, but I'll snake back into this thing because I brought it up and I was going to go chronologically, but oh well. Go back to the ladies. Good season. They ran into a buzzsaw of Eastern. That team was winning it all.
Just yeah, Eastern. They were a super good squad this year. The women's Eastern team.
I know they had a difficult season. They had a better regular season, but they just had so many injuries, man. They just had so many people get hurt. For the seniors of that team, they played their hearts out. Hats off to them. They had incredible careers as Bobcats. A lot of them went out as conference champions with one or two under, I think they had one couple regular seasons under their belt.
I think so.
Yeah. So hats off to them. Congratulations on amazing careers. And, I'm hopefully next year going to do more with the women and the ladies. I've talked to a couple people within the organization to try to learn more and do some more with that. So stay tuned for next year because I want to cover that a little better than I did this year. That's definitely a learning, improving point on my side.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. All right, guys. You got anything else? We're going to the dance. I can't believe it. This is the longest Brickball episode ever. This is fantastic.
It's awesome, man. I can't wait. Who saw this coming? I didn't. Let's live it up. Go Cats, man. Go Cats. Let's do this.
Yeah. All I know is we dunked way less on the Grizz than I was expecting to. So just eat poop Grizzlies. That's how I'll end it.
They didn't play Money Money after the win, too. I was like, people were screaming in the stands at the game. I was like, play Money Money at the stadium announcer to do it.
He's like, what is that song you guys talking about?
Exactly.
You should have hooked up the aux cord into the somehow figure that out.
All right, guys, let's get out of here. We're going to the tourney. Go Cats.
Go Cats.
Go Cats.